Celebrate the birth of our Christ, for unto us today a child is born, to us a son is given. And so today we want to join with the angels and sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, for he is Messiah, Christ our Lord. This time we're going to invite the Paytons and the Brunies to come up and lead us in our Advent reading. As they make their way up, we just want to welcome you, whether you are here for the first time or whether you've been here a longtime member. We are just so grateful to have you here today to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Advent season is a time of preparation, waiting, and anticipation for our Savior, who came and continues to come into our lives in this world. For 4 weeks, life has increased as we lit the candles of hope.
love, four candles, four promises, continually offered to us by God, and all of them fulfilled in this one we light today, the Christ candle.
In Christ, we find the hope of transformation, the peace that passes all understanding, the joy of heaven to earth come down, and the love that gave himself for us. In Christ, we find light and life, and the courage to be like him, answering his call and following in his footsteps. Today, our Savior comes.
John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it."
The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, in the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
On this Christmas day, we light the Christ candle for the King Child, the infant Redeemer, the lonely Lord, the light that shone in the dark streets of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, is still the light that shines in our dark world today. The hopes and the fears of all the years are truly met in Jesus Christ today. And now we know he is born, and nothing will be ever the same.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the mystery of the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. Help us receive the light of Christ in our hearts and share it generously and joyfully. In our families and communities, we ask this in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, please stand and greet those around you, however you feel comfortable.
Child that was given to us in a manger. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship here this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements this morning. Just a reminder that there's offering boxes in the back. Today's offering is to support Bethany Christian Services. And also for anyone that is visiting here with us today, well, first we want to just say welcome. We are so grateful that you are here today. And the pews in front of you are some connection cards. If you have not filled one of those out before, please just let us know who you are. If you take that to the Welcome Center that we have in back in church, you hand in that card and they'll give you a little gift bag in return. So visitors, we'd love to reach out and be able to connect with you. So those connection cards are there. With that, let's go before our Lord and God in a word of prayer. God, what an incredible day this is. We just ask that you allow us to sit in the wonder of what this day really is, that the day where you, our Lord, our God, the one who created all things, stepped into our broken and sinful world. The God of all things put on flesh so that you could walk among us and you could show us what it looks like to live and to love in the way that we are created to do. God, we are so grateful for this incredible gift. God, as you give us this gift, and as we open up gifts yesterday and today and this week, we just help us to remember that you, this child, this day, is the greatest gift of all. God, you are the reason we are gathered here. You are the reason we have hope. You are the reason we are able, that we worship. And so, Lord, we just want to give you our praise and our thanks here this morning. And yet, God, we also recognize that this is a day that for so many is so difficult. So, God, for those who are hurting and struggling today, we just pray that you will be Emmanuel, God with us, that you will be with them in this hurt and in this pain. For those who are celebrating this Christmas for the first time without a loved one, we just pray that you'll be with them. We pray that for all those families that are gathered together, that you'll be with the families that are missing one or two people that they love so dear. For the kids that just kind of wander away and do their own things, or the ones that just find other things to do than be with family, God, we know that brings pain. So God, we just pray that you'll be with them. You'll return them and bring us together in the way that you do, You are a God that brings people together, so God, we just give you praise. God, here today we think of Dave and Pam Visser and Ginny Boonstra, and just pray that you'll be with them in a special way. Thankful for the life that Ginny has had here on this earth, and as she starts turning the corner towards saying goodbye, we just pray that you'll be with them in a special way. Be close to them. Help them to enjoy the days and the moments they have still together. God, we're grateful for the hope that we have in you. Hope that this life is not the end, and yet you, this day and this birth points us to something greater, a day where you will return. And so, God, we just pause and just look forward to that and just give you praise. We're thankful that you loved us so much that you stepped into our world, that you are a God that is with us in our brokenness, and that you are here with us today. So, God, we turn our hearts to you. We give our hearts and our praise to you. And, God, we just pray that your Spirit will be alive in us as we open up your word here today. Lord, this we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to all of you. What a glorious day, isn't it? And a great weekend. I see a lot of families. I see a lot of kids and parents and grandchildren. It's just an awesome day to all get together and to celebrate the good news that Jesus is born. And it brings a lot of joy to our families. I could hear it in the singing today. I think we all sang with a little bit extra excitement and joy this morning. So good music, too. So, our waiting is over, isn't it? And we spent the last 4 weeks of this Advent season waiting, anticipating, as the light increased on the candles, as we got ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. A lot of different ways to do that, right? We had Advent candles in church. Does anybody have an Advent calendar at home? Did you use that? Okay, maybe some of you did, and you kind of open a little door each day, right? And there's something in there each day. I know I was over at Costco the other day. Costco, of course, they make a big deal even out of Advent, right? You can get Advent wine. Did you know that? And you get a little bottle of wine every day. And I don't know if that's the best way to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but my grandkids had Advent squishies. You know, the little squishy things, and you open a little door and you get a little squishy every day, and you know, kind of count down. I guess there's Advent chocolate, and there's Advent, my wife had Advent yarn. There's Advent everything. But the point is, it's a countdown, right? And we're counting down, and we're anticipating. And our waiting is now over. And I just think the Advent calendar and the Advent season is a symbol and a reminder that something good is coming, right? It's coming. I think that promise and that message is really what Christmas is all about, isn't it? In fact, I would put it like this. Because Jesus came, the future is really good. Because Jesus came, the future is really good. And I think we need to hear that this year probably more than any other year. Am I right? I mean, it's just been, let's face it, everybody, it's been a tough year. I mean, it's been a tough year just for me personally. I'm sure if we went around here, you could all share how it's been a challenge and a difficult for you. I think for many of us, though, it's been a bit of a difficult year in many ways. Now, I don't mean to get depressing in all of that, but this year has been a challenge. I mean, even without the pandemic. And then you add the pandemic on top of it, and it just seems so overwhelming, doesn't it? And we can start to think about that, and it can kind of make our hope take a hit, and if things get kind of dark. But we're here this morning to say that because Jesus has come, the future is really good. And so I want to think about that with you for just a few minutes this morning. Think about what the arrival of Jesus to our planet really means. What's the significance? Now, we know that he came. We know that from the Gospels. Luke tells us the story, the historical details, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and so on. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, also tells us the story from the perspective of Joseph and that Jesus is born the King of the Jews. I want to look at the story today from the perspective of the Gospel writer John, because he has a little bit different take on the arrival of Jesus to the planet. He goes a little bit deeper into the theological significance and meaning of the arrival of Jesus on earth. And so I want to think this morning with you from the Gospel of John, the first 14 verses, and kind of answer or think about this question. Who is lying in the manger? Who is that baby? And not only who is he, but what did he come to do? That's more important. Who is lying in the manger? So let's listen to the gospel writer John as he explains this to us from the first chapter, the first 14 verses. So let me ask you this morning, if you're able to stand where you are, and let's look at this good news together. This is what John says as he describes Jesus coming to earth. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And that's the good news today. You can sit down. So, imagine you're standing there. Can you take yourself back 2,000 years and you're in that little town of Bethlehem and you're standing there and you see this baby come out of the womb of this woman and they lay this little child in an animal trough, a feeding trough, and of course your eyes are wide in amazement and a stranger taps you on the shoulder and says to you, "By the way, who is that baby? Can you tell me who is lying in the manger?" Well, what would you say? How would you answer that question? See, how you answer that person, how you answer that question is crucial. And it goes a long way to telling if you really understand the deep significance of the arrival of God to this planet. So let me ask you this morning, do you know who is lying in the manger? Well, let's see if we can answer that question this morning from the perspective of John. I'm going to give you some answers. Well, John's going to give us the answers. And then after each one, I want to suggest an appropriate response that we should make to who is lying in the manger. So here we go. I think the first thing that we would say is that God is lying in the manger. That baby lying in the manger is God, the eternal God of the universe, the living Word, Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and the flesh was Jesus. God became flesh. Now, I think just every once in a while, we just need a basic theology lesson, don't we? I mean, we just need to be reminded, Jesus Christ is God, fully and perfectly and wholly God. It's just the foundation of our entire Christian faith. Now, of course, our world wouldn't acknowledge that, right? Our world doesn't think he's God. They don't say he's God. But the baby laid in the cattle trough is fully and totally God, the second person of the Trinity. Our world wants to reduce him. Just reduce him to sweet baby Jesus. Just sweet baby Jesus. That's all he is. And if you can reduce him, you can remove him from the center of your life. But we're here to say, and John is here to remind us, that the baby lying in the cattle trough is God, the pre-existent second person of the Trinity who became incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth. Who is lying in the manger? God, you got it. It's God. Now, how do we respond? Well, for me, I think I will respond by bowing. I will bow. I will bow in my heart, and I will praise him that he was willing to be confined and dependent and limited for my sake. I will bow and worship in any number of ways. I'll do it together with you in these corporate times on Sundays and other times when we get together as the body and we sing and we praise and we worship the same God. I'll do it in my private way, in my car, in my shower, at my desk. I'll do it with my family around the kitchen table. I will make my life an offering of worship to God, because he came in the flesh for my sake. So how about you? Who's lying in the manger? God. And how will you respond? I hope you'll say too, I will worship him. I will worship him with my whole heart and being. Well, what else would you say to that stranger who tapped you on the shoulder? I think the second thing you might say is that the baby lying in the manger is the creator. He is the creator of all things. Verse 3, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus was there at the beginning, not created. He didn't just come into existence, because he always existed. And the baby who spoke one word, out of nothing came everything that we see. Mountains and oceans and trees and deserts and the sky and the stars and the sun, the moon, everything. He who had the power to speak the world into existence was willing to become a baby who could not say anything. Wow! What a savior! What a savior! He is the creator of all things. Now, how will you respond? Well, for me, I will allow the creation around me to lead me again to worship. I will not take the creation for granted this Christmas. I'm going to allow it to point me to the creator in worship. I'm not going to run so fast past the God-made creation all around me to get to the human-made creations that seem to be at the center of Christmas. Over and over in Scripture, we are reminded of the beautiful, ordered, wise creation that God has made for us. Psalm 8, The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Every day, every night, all around us is the creation of God, of Jesus. Let it point us to him in worship. It's a bit of a different Christmas this year, isn't it? There's no snow. There's no snow. I actually kind of miss it. I'm not a big fan of snow. But when snow comes, and it's coming, trust me, it's coming. But when it comes, I'm going to allow it to point me to God in worship. It is beautiful. It is lovely. And when it comes, go out for a walk at night. Look up at the starry sky. Appreciate the world around you and that the Creator, Jesus, made it all and then became a baby in the womb of a woman. Allow the creation to point you to him in worship. Well, what else would you say? Well, I think the third thing I would say is that he is the light and life of humanity. Verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light for all people. He is the hope of humanity. Now, when it says that in him was life, it doesn't mean that Jesus just had a heartbeat and brain waves. He did. But it means that he is self-existent, non-dependent life. And his entrance into the world is described as a light shining in the darkness. It's a dark world, isn't it? It's a dark world. And we hunger for light. We hunger for life. We hunger for eternal life, for abundant life. And in the cattle trough is the opportunity to live forever and to live fully. In him was life and light. He is the hope of humanity. So how will you respond? Well, I will remind myself that life is found in no one or nothing other than Jesus Christ. Life is found in no one or nothing other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many voices in our culture that offer life, right? You can have life. Buy me, eat me, put me in your hair. You can have life. You can live. They vie for our attention. But life is only found in Jesus alone. There is a lot of darkness. There is a lot of despair. And we can't just sing jingle bells louder. We have to acknowledge the darkness and face it and look to Jesus, who is the life and hope of humanity. I know in a week or so, we're all going to be looking to the year 2022, aren't we? And there are a lot of voices in our culture. If you turn on the news or just pay attention to the culture, a lot of these voices are going to tell us that we need to be panicked, that we need to be afraid, that the pandemic is growing, that the economy is shrinking, the Russians are coming, the lions are losing. There's a lot of panic talk out there, and honestly, some of it is true. I get it. But, everybody, there's a greater truth. There's a louder voice that says the light and life of Jesus Christ has come into the darkness, into your sadness and your loneliness and your pain, to say that the darkness is not going to win. And I'm going to look to Jesus as the hope for life in the year 2022 and beyond. Well, what else would you say? Who's lying in the manger? I think fourthly, I would say that that little baby in the manger is the fulfillment of prophecy. The fulfillment of prophecy. It talks about a man named John who came along to testify to the light, though he was not the light. That's John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the last prophet in a long line of prophets who talked about the coming of God to rescue his people, to deliver his people, to forgive their sins, and bring them new life. All of those prophets from the Old Testament, they never quite got to see it. And I think that when we read a passage like this about John the Baptist, it kind of tells us, and I can just imagine all of those prophets from the Old Testament kind of standing around that stable in Bethlehem and kind of looking at each other and saying, this is it. This is it. This is what we talked about. This is what we predicted. This is what we said God was going to do, and now it's happened. I can just see Moses standing there saying, I'm the one who said that he would be born of the seed of a woman and one of the children of Abraham, and there he is. I can see Micah saying, I said that he would be born in Bethlehem, and here we are. I can see Isaiah standing there saying, I'm the one that said he would be born of a virgin, and there she is. And there's the baby, Emmanuel, God with us. He's the fulfillment of a long line of prophecy, the plan of God to rescue his people from the darkness of this world. And he's done it in Jesus Christ. Well, how will you respond? Well, for me, I will live today in light of tomorrow. I will live today in light of tomorrow. Be like the prophets. Be like the prophets. They lived in the moment in light of the future, anticipating this good future that God would bring about, and they looked forward to it. Life is not found in the temporal today, but it is found ultimately in the eternal tomorrow. And so, make decisions based on eternity. Raise your children based on eternity. Go to work every day based on eternity. We're so tempted to live for just the present moment. Immediate gratification. Satisfy your desires and appetites now. And the Bible says no, no. Live for tomorrow, for God's vision of a good future. And make your decisions based on that. I will live today in light of tomorrow. And then finally, one more thing. There it is. Who's that baby lying in the manger? He is the one person about whom everybody else has to make a decision. Everybody. Every man, woman, child, person ever born on this earth has to make a decision about what to do with this Jesus. Who is he? What did he come to do? And how am I going to respond to him? And what will I decide? So let me ask you this morning, how will you respond to this Jesus? Jesus was the light, John says, that shone into everybody's life. Everybody has a sense of right and wrong and a holy God, and they have a sense of their own failures and their own fallenness. And Christ has come as the light to convict us of our sins, to draw us into a relationship with him. And John says that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to those who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And now it's our turn to decide. What are we going to do with this Jesus? He has come to us. Will we reject him, or will we embrace him in a life of faith and faithfulness? What a gift. What an awesome gift that God has given to each and every one of us. So now it's time to decide. Before you make your decision, though, just consider again the gift. In the child of Bethlehem is the Word of God. In the child of Bethlehem is the Creator of all things. In that baby is the life and hope of humanity. And in that manger is the fulfillment of all prophecy. We have all that there is of God in that child. We have all that there is of him in the stable. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Reminds me of a story of a family who was celebrating a bright Christmas morning and opening gifts and experiencing family joy and all of that. This family had two little girls, one a little bit older than the other, and so they excitedly opened their presents and their stockings on Christmas morning. And when that was all over, the older sister ran over to her father, jumped up in his lap, gave him a big Christmas kiss and thank you. And then she turned to her younger sister and she said something that was so terribly cruel. She said to her younger sister, "I have all that there is of Daddy. There's no room for you." That little girl got tears in her eyes. She turned around and started to walk away. And the father said, "Stop, honey, come here." And he opened up his other knee and beckoned her to come. And that little sister ran as fast as her legs would take her and jumped up on her father's lap and gave him a big Christmas kiss. And then she said to her older sister, she said, "You may have all that there is of Daddy, but Daddy has all that there is of me." In this Christmas season, we have all that there is of God. There isn't anything else that he has to give you. We have it all. He's given us everything. He's given us his best. We have it all. We have all that there is of our Daddy lying in that manger. And that's something to celebrate. And that's something to be proud of, like that older sister. But there's a word more personal. Does he have all that there is of you? And now we all have to respond. Everyone has to make a decision. Whether you're a Christian already, you need to decide again. Every day is a decision to follow Jesus, embrace his life, live a life of faithfulness and obedience. The word became flesh for you. What more could we ask? We have all that there is of him. But what he most desires today is your humble and thankful heart. Does he have all that there is of you? See, because Jesus came, your future is very good. And that future, I'm telling you, is worth living for. If you think about it, Jesus entered the world through a virgin birth. He exited the world through a miraculous resurrection. Kind of think of it, miracles on both ends, right? And when we're committed to him, all things are possible. For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and his name is Jesus. And when we're trusting him, no matter what is going on in your life or family, you can count on him. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, because Jesus was born, your future is very, very good. Let's embrace him and the future that he has planned for all of us. Let's pray. Lord, it's amazing to think that the self-existent, all-powerful God who created this world walked our earth. It's a mind-blowing thing, Lord, that the one who was already in existence before our universe came into being, walked our earth, and died for us. But I pray this Christmas that we can wrap our minds around that reality and truly know you for who you are, and that knowing you, that you would fill us with your power and yourself, that we may love like you love, that we may invest ourselves completely into your kingdom and into your redemptive mission. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to our world and giving us the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing this last song together, and it is during this song, Hallelujah Chorus Choir, that you're supposed to come forward and get ready for that awesome closing song. So as we sing this last one, come on forward, and we'll end the service with a bang. Let's sing and praise Jesus.
Such mean estate, where ox and ass
awesome way to end this service, isn't it? He is not just sweet baby Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ who reigns forever. So receive his blessing. Now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, our Son and Savior, his Son and our Savior, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, may that blessing be upon you. And may the joy and peace and hope that Jesus brings go with you now and always. Praise be to the reigning Jesus Christ. Enjoy the day, everybody. Go in peace.